Full Service Radio is proudly supported and hosted by Simplecast. Full Service Radio is proudly supported and hosted by Simplecast, the easiest way for a podcast creator to publish and distribute audio on the internet. For more information, visit simplecast.com.
Tuned in to Full Service Radio.
Full Service Radio.
Full Service.
Full Service.
Full Service.
Full Service Radio.
Welcome to Beer Me on Full Service Radio, not broadcasting live from the Line Hotel in Adams Morgan, Washington, D.C., but this time in Fairport, Maine at Maine Beer Company. I am your host, Sarah Jane. During my time in culinary school, I gained an appreciation for good beer. I continued my studies in beer at grad school at NYU, and since then I have been a beer director, beer bar general manager, and I get to continue to explore the beer world with all of you wonderful listeners. Every week, I will have a different guest on the show to discuss different parts of the beer world, from brewers, importers, educators. This will allow us to examine the dynamic world of beer through different lenses. Whether you're new to beer or a seasoned professional, we will have something for you. So my next guest, I am very excited about because she was somebody that I found to be very inspiring and supportive and wonderful. During my time at Birch and Barley Church Key with Neighborhood Restaurant Group, she was the general manager at Blue Jacket, which I don't know if you've ever worked at a restaurant during baseball season where it's near the stadium, but if you can handle that, you can basically handle any trial in life. So I am here in Freeport, Maine at Maine Beer Company with Anne Murisik. She's the marketing and events manager and resident sorceress. Welcome.
Thank you so much. Thank you for the kind words. The feeling is absolutely mutual.
So, and if her last name sounds familiar, that is because her sister, Katie, has been on the show twice. So I'm just a fan of your family and in general. So
I'm going to have to be on more than her. There's definitely a competition of who's the best Murisik. And
there's definitely a competition between Bill DeBond and Michael Stein as far as who can get on the show more.
Nice.
I actually have lost track. They're keeping track on their own. So yeah, you'll have to come down to DC and come into the studio.
Happy to.
So we're sitting in this airy, beautiful room. So you just went through a massive expansion with the brewery, and we just got to walk through the whole space. There's this beautiful event space. There's this huge, beautiful pizza oven by Maine Wood Heat. Just such a beautiful space, and you've got all this cool stuff for the staff. You've got like a staff room with like a foosball table and all this stuff. So you're living the dream.
It's pretty awesome. The company just underwent a pretty big expansion, like you said. We had moved from Portland to Freeport in 2013, and very, very quickly, this was around the same time that the Maine Brewers Guild had worked on passing a law that would allow tasting rooms. Before that, they in Maine, you could have tasting room, but you were allowed to give tours and offer a few free samples, but you couldn't sell your beer either in bottle or draft. So the Maine Brewers Guild worked very, very hard. Dan Kleban, one of our owners, was instrumental in this as well, to pass a law that would enable tasting room experience, which I think we know from how breweries have expanded in the past 5 years, you know, is huge for a place to be able to tell their story and get people excited about their beer. So 2013, when the brewery was moved up here, tasting room opened, and it's tiny. I think the thought was there weren't going to, you know, who was going to come up here, and we quickly found out that was a lot of people. We're sharing this beautiful town with L.L. Bean. So during the summer in particular, we get a huge influx of folks, but all year round there are people, and it's a great community to be a part of. So when we sort of hit capacity with the brewery, plans were put in place to grow bigger. First phase of that was building a new production space, which enabled us to drastically increase our production. We're still staying, you know, it's moderate growth. We're not trying to, you know, suddenly be the next huge producer, but, you know, nice, quiet, steady growth, manageable growth. And then the next phase after that was taking our old production space, sort of gutting it. We actually sold a lot of our old tanks to other breweries in Maine. So it's kind of cool to sort of pass along this, you know, equipment and help other breweries. And, you know, Orono has a lot of our tanks. So it's kind of a neat thing to see. And now we're about 2 weeks away from opening our brand new tasting room, which, as you described, is we've got a pizza oven. We've got event space. We've got games. We've got expanded seating. You can bring more than 10 people. but it's really exciting. And I think one of the core things is getting to share kind of who we are as a company. You know, 1% for the planet is part of who we've been from the start. We work with environmental nonprofits and donate 1% of our gross annual sales. And now we actually get to really highlight that and have a space to kind of bring that those community nonprofits into and, you know, share that with our guests.
That's amazing. So the motto for Maine Beer Company is do what's right.
Yep.
And I feel like that motto has been spread to every single aspect of this company. You know, obviously you're making great beer. It's a given. You care about the world, you care about the community, but you also care about the employees. Mm-hmm. And this is something that you and I had talked about previously, in that this brewery does a lot for employees, a lot more than most breweries. Would you mind kind of explaining some of the stuff that the employees get, aside from the foosball table that we just got to see?
Foosball table's pretty great.
Yeah, you got me there.
A little background. When Dan and Dave Kleban started this company, the real goal behind it was to prove that you could run a business while also giving back and taking care of your staff, that those two things didn't have to be mutually exclusive. And that's where the do what's right came in. And that has, as you said, extended to everything that we do. But in terms of staff, you know, this goes from making sure that we have health benefits, making sure that there's a 401k that the company contributes to regardless of whether we're putting our own money in. As someone who's never had a 401k, it was like, whoa, this is, you know, it was just mind blowing.
Yeah.
And a really unique thing. One thing that, we started this year. So everybody, we've got a certain amount of paid time off, and then you accrue more, as you know, you, the longer you're with the company, you're allowed to carry over a certain amount every year, and we're encouraged to use it, which is, you know, another thing.
I've had paid time off at almost every restaurant I've worked at. Nobody's ever encouraged me to actually use it or made it easy.
Yeah. And, you know, this makes it easy, but this year they added, we start with, 2 paid sick days, and that is encouraging you, you don't need to use your paid time off when you're sick.
Yeah.
And I think in the restaurant industry, in, you know, hospitality industry in particular, but honestly, every job out there, you know, people, you really juggle that. I don't feel good, but I can't miss work. Yeah. Or I, you know, and what the belief behind this is that, you know, if sick people are coming to work, they're not being productive. They're making other people sick. It's not good. So stay home, take care of yourself, feel better. And we should be able to give you the ability to do that without feeling that you're missing out or not getting paid. And that's a huge thing. It's something that in Maine, you know, there's a lot of discussion about making sure that employees have that. And it's one of those things, it's, you know, not always easy for a business to do, but the thought here is that we want to encourage people to make it something that you should do, because in the long run, it's going to make you more productive and successful as a company.
Yeah.
So that might cost short term, but long term, you're going to see benefits from it because you're taking care of your staff.
For sure.
But yeah.
And for listeners just tuning in, I'm sitting down with Anne Marisek. She is the marketing and events manager at Maine Beer Company, which is where we are recording from. So also, on top of the amazing benefits that you offer your staff, education is a huge part of your culture.
Yeah.
And we just got to walk through the renovated area where there was this amazing sensory galley, for lack of a better word.
Yeah, yeah.
So you had like different booths with, you know, dividers and the little kind of roll up garage door where you could put glasses through. So what are some things that employees get to benefit from as far as education goes?
Well, in terms of education, it's amazing. I'll get to the lab program in a second, but I don't think I've ever worked at a place that's been so excited to share information. And it's at every level. You know, I will go up to a brewer and be like, what are you doing? And they're so excited to share information, and all of it's out there. It's just ask. And everybody's very communicative about the projects we're working on. And, you know, you can, anyone who wants an opportunity to kind of get a day training with something to sort of learn about a different aspect of the job, it's encouraged. Because, you know, the more you know about the company as a whole, but also the what your coworkers doing, you're going to have so much respect for people's daily, their work and what they're doing. And it's so amazing for me to like see what the brewers are doing, see what, you know, all of the packaging team is doing, see what our warehouse does and how they organize their day. And you know, the one big part of this, going back to the do what's right, make great beer. We want to make sure that the beer we're putting out is the best possible product. And big part of that is sensory, making sure that in our quality control, making sure that the beer is being tested at every single stage, that we're, you know, that our DO levels are good, that we're, you know, that there's not off flavors. And one of the best
DO levels for
dissolved oxygen that helps you, you know, maintain good quality of your beer. With that, you know, we're training all of our staff. Everybody is participating in sensory, and we do it once a week. We started with True to Brand, where we, you know, the really, really hard part of our job, where we taste through all our beers and talk about color, aroma, taste, what, you know, what this is supposed to be, what, you know, a classic peeper is, what a classic lunch is. So that way, if anything's off, we know it. And one of the great things is you have this huge cross-section of people. And when you're trying to do this sort of sensory, you know, if you only have one person tasting it, well, you're kind of at the mercy of what their taste buds are. I'm really can pick up on certain things better than others. I know I'm very good at detecting trans to not at all, which is cardboard flavors. I'm very good at detecting isoamyl acetate, which is sort of this banana runt flavor. Diacetyl, kind of struggle with sometimes. And that's sort of a buttery off flavor.
Whereas that is the one off flavor that I can smell it like 5 feet away.
Yeah.
Whereas I struggle with pretty much everything else.
Yeah. And you know, there are others, acetaldehyde, which is green apple. Well, I grew up in a certain world with a certain beer that was rife with it, but it tastes normal to me. So, you know, it's something that I can taste it, but it takes a little bit. And some of that is training, but, you know, having a wide cross-section of people to pull from, you're getting, actually, we don't really have too many smokers, but smokers, non-smokers, different age groups, male, female, all these different spectrums of taste, which the wonderful team in our lab who is analyzing all of this can kind of sort through and see, you know, if something's wrong. If they have a question about a beer, they can say, oh, well, this person is really good at detecting X. Let's try it.
Plus, that's a muscle. And, you know, this is something I teach at a very small culinary school. And when I have these students start tasting, it's so hard. And when you start tasting beer, you start tasting wine or spirits, the first thing you always smell is like, I smell beer, or I smell wine, or I smell alcohol.
Yeah.
And it's really hard to get your brain and your mouth to cooperate so that you can articulate what you're smelling.
Yep.
You know, that's why when you've got a som who's like, it smells like a summer rain in June, you know, then they've clearly had a lot of experience. Also a touch of douchebaggery. So, yeah.
But I don't know.
One
of the best tasters that I ever knew, my friend Allison, who worked with me at Rustico in Virginia, and she's an English professor, and so her vocabulary is like phenomenal. And mm-hmm. she would taste a beer, and she'd be like, "It's like freshly mowed grass, but on an April day after a rain, not like on a June day." And you're just like, "Huh?" And then you taste it, and you're like, "God damn, she's good."
Yeah,
it's like I now taste that.
Yeah.
So I think some of it is, you know, just training people in vocabulary, coming from food backgrounds like you and I both have. I think that's one of the really interesting things, to be able to talk about flavors. You know, mm-hmm. our friend Greg Engert, you know, is big into flavor profiles, and it's such a good way of talking about beer and what you're smelling, what you're tasting, and pinpointing it more, which I think, you know, then on the selling beer angle allows you to better pinpoint what people don't like, what mm-hmm. they do like, and then direct them to a beer that they might not have tried. You know, especially coming, you know, a brewery like Maine Beer Company, we're very hop forward. Mm-hmm. And the number of people who are like, "I don't really like hoppy beers. Lunch is my favorite." It's like, this is a very intense hoppy West Coast IPA. So you do like hops, just
tempered with a little bit of malt.
You've been exposed to different ones that have made you think you don't. Yeah. So,
and kind of going back to the flavor profiles, like mm-hmm. smelling stuff, it's interesting how a lot of chefs also have a really good background in being able to articulate. Yeah. Because they know, like, if you were to say, like, "Oh, this," if you're smelling a wood beer, "Oh, this smells like, you know, citrus peel and coriander." Well, if you've never stuck your face in a jar of coriander, you're not going to be able to place that very quickly yep. in your mind and be like, "Oh yeah, that's what that smells like." Mm-hmm. So if you've spent your entire, you know, livelihood tasting all these different flavors, knowing exactly what these different chili peppers taste like, you're going to be able to say, like, "I smell coriander," or "I smell toasted coriander."
Yeah.
You're going to know that different yeah. smell.
So. Well, it's great. And one thing I really love is seeing all of our staff get this vocabulary and learn. And, you know, we probably have a very finicky bunch of people now who are like, this doesn't taste. But it's great because now you have the staff of 50 people who, mm-hmm. when they're out in the wild at bars, they're like, "Hey, could someone check on this bar? Our beer didn't taste right there." And then it's huge. And then the next step to this is mm-hmm. we're working on a program to try and bring some of our accounts up here. So getting a restaurant to come in and talk to them about these off flavors and things, and getting them, you know, your best supporters are the people who are on the ground selling your beer.
Yeah.
But they need to know, again, what's wrong mm-hmm. so that they know when it's right. And it also gives them a good sense of our commitment to that level of quality,
yeah.
which is exciting to share with people.
Yeah. And that's something, and this is something, back to Greg Engert, something that he does really well is that he presents beer very well. Mm-hmm. He knows the importance of clean lines and proper glassware and things yeah. like that, because so many decisions and so much thought has been put into the beer.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of which, transition, thought put into the beer.
Yeah.
So as we pulled up today, I noticed there was a buttload, it's the technical term, of solar panels
yes.
on top of this building. This entire yeah. building is covered with solar yes. panels. What's going on there?
So as I said, when we moved up to Freeport, mm-hmm. You know, the business opened, started booming. We'd been open in Portland. We moved to Freeport. New space got cranking and got going real quick. One of the things that I really admire about the Clebans, they actually had an opportunity to expand much earlier than we did. But rather than grow the brewery, they said, "We're using a lot of energy through our brewing process,
mm-hmm.
We're not really standing up to our end of do what's right if we don't do something to counteract that." So they invested in solar, and that's our primary building that's going to be our new tasting room is covered in solar. We have a large solar tracker as well, and that's going to provide 100% of the energy for the tasting room and offsets the energy for the rest of the building when the brewery's not going. Breweries run a lot of energy,
mm-hmm.
So it's something that we're constantly looking at and trying to figure out what's the best way we can offset this or reduce. So we're looking into carbon, you know, how we can trap some of the carbon dioxide that's coming out and reuse it. But one of the other projects that we're working on that's really exciting, if we can't do it here, if mm-hmm. we're out of space and can't produce enough solar energy to offset, well, do it elsewhere. So this year, we're actually using part of our 1% for the planet yearly donation to work on solar projects offsite. So we'll be announcing this later this year, who our beneficiary is, but each year we're going to try and work with a different one of our nonprofits to bring solar or wind power or something like that to their organization.
Wow.
And the idea is that, you know, if you make that investment in an organization early enough, that one-time investment is going to reap benefits for them for, you know, for solar panels, somewhat times upwards of 25 years,
mm-hmm.
reducing their costs on energy in-house, which gives them more money to support their mission. It's like all of these things keep compounding and yay.
Yeah. It's like a good snowball.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, and how long have you worked here? You worked for 2 years?
It's going to be 2 years this summer. Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah. I mean, it just, it seems like a little like dream world up here. Every time I come up to Portland, I mean, you have so many amazing breweries mm-hmm. in such a small amount of space. You've
yep.
got Allagash, you have Oxbow, you got you guys, Barreled Soul, mm-hmm. Bliss Brothers, like everybody. I mean, I've done this before where I do like a plug for like just come up to Portland
yeah.
and like go around it, because there's also amazing restaurants too.
Amazing places.
All right, what is your favorite restaurant?
Oh,
top three.
All right.
Is that
top,
easier?
Top three
restaurants. If you're coming up to Portland, you have to go to these top three restaurants.
Because
of course, number one, you come to Main Beer Company.
Yeah.
Okay.
I would say, all right, I have to kind of do four.
Okay.
All right. So Honey Paw is one of my all-time favorites.
Mm-hmm.
They're just amazing, amazing food. Terra Lingua, I think, is one that's a little under the radar. It's on East Bayside neighborhood. Just amazing Tex-Mex and killer brisket, and hands down the most dangerous margaritas in town.
Nice.
Cheval is another one of my favorites. They're on the West End. Just really amazing Spanish cuisine.
Mm-hmm.
I've never had a bad meal there. Great food, great beer, cocktails, wine, you name it. And a little plug for one that I went to recently that I am disappointed in myself for not going to sooner, Baharat, also in the East End. They had been a food truck before,
mm-hmm.
and I had their food, and it was great. Recently went there to their actual brick and mortar. It was just killer food, killer drinks, amazing service. It was like the whole package, and also really like affordable. I was like, wow, why haven't I been coming here all the time? And they turned me on to a new orange wine vermouth that I hadn't had before. That
Ooh.
Was pretty good. But yeah, once I start going on my favorites, there's great
yeah.
ones. And I would say encourage people not just to visit Portland, but the rest of the state.
Because yeah. Bar Harbor is beautiful.
Bar Harbor's beautiful. Rockland is
yeah.
unbelievable. There's Primo, there's Sammy's Deluxe, there's Ada's Kitchen. Like, just some really great places. And then go farther north.
Yeah.
This past summer, through our work with the Bicycle Coalition,
mm-hmm.
I got to go up to Aroostook County, which, you know, is sort of the further reaches of Maine, but seriously the nicest people I've ever met in my life, and it's gorgeous up there, so
yeah.
highly recommend it.
All right, state of Maine.
Yeah.
If you're listening, we will be your spokespeople.
Yes.
Well, thank you so much for taking time out of your day.
Thank you.
I appreciate it. And thanks for all the beer. I was very excited to try all this stuff. I was, you know what though? I had post-ride snack recently mm-hmm. at Solid State Books on H Street.
Nice.
Which was so cool to be on H Street in a really cool bookstore
yeah.
drinking Maine beer.
I'm kind of jealous because I lived there for 8 years. There was not a bookstore nor Maine beer. I was told that craft beer wouldn't be a thing when I moved there.
Uh-huh.
Ha. Whoops.
Jokes. Yeah, it was so delicious. I hadn't had is Post-Ride Snack new, or am I out of the loop?
We started that one.
That's a session.
I think it was about 2 years ago. That one came about, yeah, it's a session IPA, 4.9%.
Mm-hmm.
It's really kind of my favorite summer beer right now.
Yeah.
It's, so Dave Kleban, one of our owners, is an avid cyclist,
mm-hmm.
and He is a huge supporter of the Bicycle Coalition. They're one of our nonprofits, and he kind of got this idea of let's do a session and post-ride snack. But the joke is like post-work snack, post I lifted up a pencil today snack. So you can really just, you have accomplished something, you should have this beer.
Yeah.
But it's really exciting because from May through the end of September, we have a weekly ride with the folks from L.L. Bean. It's a 25-mile ride. I support it through being here to sign people in, get their waivers done, give them their drink tickets, because when they're done with the ride, they come in for a beer. Haven't tackled the ride myself yet, but, you know, there's still time.
I was going to say, if you're doing 25-mile rides, bravo.
Not quite there yet, but it's a really cool thing, and it was great to see it grow. We went from having, like, 15, 20 people to show up to last year, I think it was like 40 to 50 every week.
Wow.
Every Thursday. So
that's impressive.
It's, you know, a cool thing. And, you know, they always come out and post-ride snack. That's the way to go.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
All right. Well, hopefully I'll grab some this spring
yep.
when it starts to warm
up. Should
be
back, I think, at the end of March.
Nice.
Yeah.
Thank you. All right. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. So if you have any questions, comments, concerns, feel free to reach out to me on Instagram at BeerMeRadio or via email, BeerMeRadio@gmail.com. Otherwise, we will see you next week. Cheers.